everyone to our latest episode of Fill in Therapy. I am Colleen Murphy, and I'm a Senior Vice President with the Giving Collaborative, and I am so excited to host this podcast with our special guest, Lisa Baxter. Lisa has been a fundraising practitioner for 15 years in the nonprofit sector, and most recently was the Director of Major Gifts at MLK Community Health Foundation in Los Angeles. Lisa currently serves on the Board of Directors for the Association of Fundraising Professionals, AFP, of Greater Los Angeles, and has served as the VP of AFP's IDEA Committee, and is currently going to be the president-elect for 2022. The IDEA Committee, for those that are not familiar, stands for Inclusion, Diversity, Equity, and Access. Welcome, Lisa. And if you don't mind maybe sharing a little bit more about who you are and your background, I would be very grateful.
Yes. No, thank you so much, Colleen, and to everyone listening. It's definitely been an honor serving on the Association of Fundraising Professionals. It's also been quite a journey and a testament to my growth as a professional and fundraising practitioner. You know, it's so funny when you talk about the roles that you play and the different titles that that you share with the world. And what I see myself as is a community builder. I'm also an equity activist, and I really seek to create a more equitable world for all, especially in the nonprofit sector. And I think that's important to, you know, really start thinking about what we are outside of our roles and how we can, you know, really help to make the nonprofit, you know, a better place for all. So thank you again for inviting me.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you here. And kind of along those lines, if you don't mind, maybe sharing a little bit more about the IDEA Committee, what your involvement is, how that even came about, a little history maybe.
Absolutely. Yeah. So as you mentioned, the IDEA Committee stands for Inclusion, Diversity, Equity, and Access. And I actually became a member of the committee before I even became a member of AFP, because, you know, at that point, there was a hesitancy on my part to join, because I didn't see anyone that looked like me in the chapter. And representation matters, and it's something that I know that our chapter and organization and the nonprofit sector as a whole continues to work on. So when I thought about all the things that my immigrant parents and ancestors endured, I decided that I wanted to be a catalyst, not just someone who sat around and, you know, complained about what needed to be done. I wanted to do the work. So when George Floyd was murdered, I sent an open letter to the AFP board, you know, just sharing my experience as a woman of a global majority in the nonprofit sector. And that moment, I think, really changed a lot, not just for for our chapter, but just for everyone in the world. And it certainly changed the tide at AFP GLAC, not that we weren't doing the work, but we shifted our approach and we started really having courageous and frank conversations about what we felt and what needed to be done. And it has been very liberating to say the things, you know, that we probably felt we couldn't say, you know, for the years, you know, leading up to this, or were uncomfortable to say up until that point. So I think that this experience has been very liberating across the board for me and many of my colleagues and peers.
Yeah, I can imagine. And I'd love to hear a little bit more about, you know, you're going to be president-elect.
Yes.
maybe some of your specific goals are, you know, regarding the committee in particular, and what you've already seen as success stories, perhaps.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so I'm still, you know, even though I am president-elect this year, I'm still very involved in what the IDEA Committee does, because it's not just about it being something that's a standalone. You know, IDEA should be a part of everything. Even the way that it was created, you know, our first diversity task force was set up by Randy Sunshine in 2008. And I think it's very important to bring her name up, because you always want to honor the room. It was officially adopted by the board in 2010, and it evolved in 2018 with the addition of 5 AFP GLAC members. And that was myself, Lupita Garza, Yvette Herrera, who is the current president right now, Chris Lutz, and Danielle Laura, who has served as a chair with me for the past 2 years. So I just want to send a shout out to her, you know, for being just a true comrade. So 4 out of the 5 members currently serve on the AFP board. And ever since 2018, we have received the AFP Idea Champion designation that establishes us as a chapter that is actively seeking to make our chapter more inclusive. And that is through education, that is through resources, that's also through representation, which is huge for us. And, you know, when I think about what has happened since 2020, I define it as a moment of rebirth, a moment of reframing, and just refocusing our efforts on finding out what our members needed, how they needed to be educated, and what resources they needed for what I call a healing journey. This is really, I think, we are going through a moment that everyone needs to be healed, especially with all the things that have happened as of late, and even the past, you know, 3 weeks. This is really about, you know, healing. And so my goal moving into the presidency for 2023 is to create a mentorship, a very intentional mentorship and apprenticeship program, so that we can, again, see more representation, you know, see more people at people of global majority at those executive levels, provide more content, more conversations, and really just take it back to the people. I feel like sometimes we do get, as fundraisers, we get so caught up in, you know, honoring our donors, as we should. But we also need to honor those frontline fundraisers, those folks that are working at the back of the house, in front of the house. We need to remember that it takes a village to really ensure that we're pushing the mission forward. And so I think it's just, again, taking it back to the people.
Well, that's great. I love all of that. Maybe you could comment also on what you're seeing sort of nationally, you know, even perhaps globally, in the sort of philanthropy fundraising sector, and how it relates to what you're trying to do here locally in Los Angeles. I mean, I think there's an acknowledgement, as you already indicated, that as a, you know, nationally, there's a healing that needs to happen, mm-hmm. conversations that need to take place. Are there other sort of trends that you see in the nonprofit world, and specifically with fundraisers, that you also think needs a little bit more attention, you know, or a little bit more of a spotlight shined on it?
Yeah, I think, you know, there has been a tendency to go back to what's comfortable, which, you know, I think there was a lot of performative acts happening very early on, right? You know, you put up the black square on social media, you know, you say, okay, I started this task force and all that. And that is all, you know, that's all good things. But this work, it does not end. It does not stop. You know, someone compared, you know, what this work is to getting on a bus, but it's a bus that you can't get off of when things get hard. And I think that's what we need to remember, as everybody is in this kind of sense of fatigue, you know, coming off of, you know, being on Zoom calls and Zoom conferences and all of this, and, you know, all of the emphasis put on social justice, people, you know, have been getting a little bit tired. But you can't get tired when it has to do with, you know, really pushing forward the not just a notion, but, you know, ensuring that, you know, everyone feels included. I also think there's a tendency to not want to be uncomfortable or feel offended by truth. You know, and the thing is, facts are stubborn things. That's not going to change. And, you know, the nonprofit sector, it was built upon, you know, systems that were not intended for all. So it's really been good to see incremental changes as it pertains to the shifting of behaviors and approaches. And we just need to continue to talk about it and really put things into action by changing policies, whether it's, you know, policies, you know, across the board, hiring policies, you know, things that are actually going to move not just the needle, but, you know, move our mission forward. And again, I mentioned it a little bit earlier, that I think the idea committee lives for the day when there does not need to be an idea committee, that it just is, right? So those are some of the things that I'm seeing. I am seeing a lot of work that's being done, but there's so much work yet to be done, especially as you see the lack of diverse executive leaders. We want to see more. I'm from South Central, and I never saw anyone that looked like me as a fundraiser in that role. And so what I hope to be, and I know that other people like the folks on the idea committee and our chapter, they want to, you know, if you can see it, you can be it, right? And this is another way to build generational wealth. This is another way to, you know, really show the world that the nonprofit sector is a very viable career. And it's something that you could do almost anything in, whether it's communications, whether it's you love data, technology, social media, you know, raising money. I think it's our job to really, you know, to really set the stage for the next generation that's coming in.
Yeah. And I know that that's one of the goals, you know, of the IDEA committee in general, mm-hmm. to attract and retain, as you mentioned, more faculties and professionals reflecting the diversity of their communities that they're serving.
Exactly.
Specifically, what are some steps that can be taken? Like, what are some ideas? I know you mentioned earlier a mentorship program. What are some thoughts that you have on how that can be achieved or how we can at least move closer to that goal being realized?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that AFP Global as a whole has really done a great job of bringing this to the forefront. It is definitely a priority for them. And one of the ways that they were able to help us was they gave us scholarships to really increase the diversity of our chapter. So we've been able to do that in the past 2 years that I was at the helm as VP. We were able to increase that by 8 to 10%, which I think is really great. And again, it's a small step, but it's big for us because we really wanted to ensure that we were being intentional. It wasn't just about, oh, let's just, you know, bring in diversity tokens. It was like, no, this is how we want to approach. So I think it's about having intentional conversations, speaking to the members, speaking to even people outside of your organization, and really getting a handle on what's needed. You know, you can't come into something and dictate what everybody needs if you don't understand the community, if you don't understand what the needs are. And I think that for us, we took a very intentional approach, one that really focused on how can we shift behaviors. We know that we will not put an end to racism, right? So it's about doing what we can do in front of us. So that's recruitment, that's retention, that's cultivation, that's helping to, you know, train the next generation that's going to come after us. That's also ensuring that, you know, we have programs that are able to support our fundraisers, the folks, just not just fundraisers, but folks, you know, all across the board and nonprofit sectors. And so those have been some of the things that we've been really focusing on moving forward. And another one, also having cross collaborations. We did a lot of collaborations with our sister chapters like Chicago and Orange County. And, you know, you are stronger together. And so that's another thing. It's opening it up. It's like looking at other chapters that are either like us or have had other successes, and really, you know, learning and taking on their best practices to see what works for us. Because as you know, LA is a different beast. We are very unique. We have, you know, it's very, you know, there's so many different ways that we can approach this. And so, you know, we always said, we don't know everything. We're not always going to get it right. But if we work together, another thing is holding people accountable. And I think that is the biggest thing. It's like, if we're going to do this, it's all hands on deck, right? And I think that our chapter specifically has been so supportive of what we wanted to do, because it was almost like this light bulb went on and we were saying and doing the things that we would have never said or been comfortable saying, you know, years ago. And we took that oath to really face the truth. And so, that's just some of the ways that you're handling that moving forward.
Yeah, that's, I love the concept of collaborations. And I was thinking about all of the AFP members or maybe fundraising professionals that are not involved in AFP that don't have ready access, you know, to some of the, I guess, sort of collaborative ideas and programs and scholarships and things like that. Do you have any advice for fundraising professionals out there and how they can sort of tap into some of what you're doing? Are there resources available? Are there people that they should be connecting with? Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, of course we always, you know, we're always calling people to join us because that's, you know, they would not regret it. I think it's one of the best things that I've ever done for my career. But there are so many resources out there, you know, just like you research anything else, you know, whether you're going on a trip or whether you want to find out about some new product, that's the one thing to do. Also seek out mentorship. You know, when you're seeking out mentorship, meaning people that, you know, that you're comfortable with approaching, asking them, you know, learning, asking them to, you know, share more about what's really happening in the sector, not, and being truthful and honest about, you know, what your needs are. Also, there's so many webinars and educational tools out there and really leveraging and maximizing those opportunities. I know that for AFP, we also have guests come to our offerings. So, you know, putting yourself in that position to, you know, pay that fee and come in, and it's usually a lower fee than the typical membership fee, and join us, you know. And I think it really comes from you being curious, you wanting to take your career to the next level. And you really reaching out to, you know, key people. I mean, sometimes I go on LinkedIn, and if I have like someone, you know, some sector or something in mind, I just go and see who is in my network that, you know, has those capabilities or resources. And I just reach out to them. I'm just very honest. I think when you approach people from a very authentic point of view, they will respond, you know, because if I've learned anything, people want to, you know, share their skills and with others. And I think it's just about you being curious and really determining what, you know, in what ways you want to grow in your career and how you want to also grow the community that is going to support that as well.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. And thank you, Lisa, so much for sharing your skills and for sharing your perspective and for all that you're doing, you know, for AFP, for the nonprofit sector in general. I really, really appreciate your time and your efforts. And it was an absolute pleasure to meet you today. And if there's anything else that you want to add before we close, here for
yeah, it. No, thank you so much for that. It's I have to say it's really been an honor. I will not lie and say that my experience has been easy, but what has been so rewarding for me has been the journey, you know, to see where I started and all of the, I like to say, angels that I've met along the way, especially my family at the AFP GLAC, all the IDEA committee members. And then also I want to shout out the current VP, Juliet Christopher and Martha and the chair, Martha Sanchez. And I think if anything that I want to leave with your audience is that just, you know, this work is a series of moments that must be met in a very authentic and loving way. And so, you know, just meet the moment, you know, hold yourself accountable. If we are, be accomplice. If we say we're writing at dawn, let's write at dawn, because we need to do this work. And you know, it's going to take courage. It's going to take bravery and just a lot of insight to get us to where we need to be. So thank you.
Again, Lisa, thank you. I do again admire your courage and your bravery and your collaborative spirit. And thank you so much. And with that, we'll close our episode. Thank you so much.
Thank you.